This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published in February of the year 2013, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and we're going to look at verse number 6. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Title for this message is Misguided Faith. Now, according to the scripture I just read, we see that faith in God is the only way to be pleasing to Him. And as a result of that, God will reward us by blessing us. Our faith in Him centers around the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Outside of that, we have nothing. Most of us in this nation, most of this nation, and especially the black community, professes to be Christian, meaning we accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He was born of a virgin, lived a holy and righteous life, was crucified, died, and rose up from the dead 3 days later, and is now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. If we consider the beginning of this nation, founded on Christian principles, we can see how it rose from infancy in the 18th century to be the most powerful, richest, and respected nation in the world by the 20th century. We can see just how blessed this nation has been, all because of our faith in Christ. However, as we entered into the 21st century, things have changed. We have gone from being the richest nation to essentially being enslaved by debt to other nations. As far as respect goes, that is just about gone. We still are the most powerful, but smaller nations have been waging war against us through terrorism and the like. And we are, for all intents and purposes, powerless to stop them. Why is all of this happening? The main reason is we have fallen away from the bedrock of our existence, and that is our faith in Christ. Oh, sure. Most still profess faith in Christ, but it is a faith that is misguided. Now, what do I mean by this? While we profess our faith in Christ, it is not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Bible has, among other things, the attributes of holiness, righteousness, love, compassion, and mercy. More and more of us over the past few decades have put our faith in a Christ with a small c, whose attributes are love, compassion, and mercy. Gone are the attributes of holiness and righteousness. In short, we have molded and put our faith in a Christ with a small c that we feel comfortable with. This is the Christ most of us love today. Think about this. Suppose your spouse or someone who professes their total undying love for you came up to you and said that they wanted you to cut one of your arms or legs off, or get a facelift or a nose job, or lose weight, or else they would leave you for someone else. How would you deal with them? If it were me, I would show them the door or leave. I am me. Take it or leave it. I am not going to change myself to please anyone else other than Christ. As far as the weight issue is concerned, if it is a health issue, then naturally that is a different matter. So what we have is a situation where many Christians, and you can't really call them that, have done to Christ just like that spouse has done and expect him to accept it. His response to us is to show us the door. It's hell out there. In case we forget, this same Jesus that is full of love, mercy, and compassion is the same Jesus who made a whip, went into the temple, and chased the money changers out of it for defiling it, defiling the temple. Find that in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 13. This is the same Jesus that issued a scathing rebuke of the religious leaders of his day in Matthew chapter 23. Why? Because they ignored the holiness and righteousness of God. You see, if you are going to put your faith in Christ, this is with a capital C, it has to be the Christ of the Bible and not one whose image is one man has fashioned. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter number 1, verses 22 and 23. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let me elaborate on this for a minute, using the black community as a model. Most blacks love a Christ with a small C that is just like us, black, and as such, he favors us more than the evil white man, meaning he is a respecter of persons, which he is not. Read James chapter number 2. Now let me remind you of this. These are the same people who love reading the scriptures in the Bible that give them comfort and peace of mind. Yet when this same Bible tells them about their wicked ways, they respond with, "The white man wrote the Bible." The Christ with a small C that a lot of people love is one who ignores their wickedness, homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication, adultery, lying, killing, gambling, and the list goes on and on, because he loves us so much. In fact, he has no problem with these people holding prominent positions in the church, such as ministers, pastors, and even as bishops. To top that off, preachers are now performing marriages between two men or two women, all part of the misguided notion that Christ approves. And if you haven't figured out just who is responsible for the mess we are in today, it is preachers. These are the ones who are supposed to educate the people as to just what is and is not of God, what he likes and what he doesn't. However, if they themselves are misguided, then what do you think will be the condition of those that listen to them? You know, I sit and I listen to some preachers on the radio discussing the issues facing this nation, and especially the black community today, and while I can appreciate and respect what they are trying to do, comforting those that are burdened down or in sorrow, that are looking for a ray of hope or words of encouragement, There is the issue of what have they done or are they doing that may have brought their problems to them. The Christ with the small c that most of them, these preachers, love is one that completely ignores what the individual may have been or is doing. It is all about mercy and compassion. I was listening to two different black preachers on the radio this past Sunday. Now, when I'm talking about this past Sunday, you got to remember I'm talking about back in 2013 when I was writing it, when I wrote this message out. But anyway, I was listening to them this past Saturday on different programs. One was addressing the plight of the single mothers who are poor. And a caller called in, which I didn't hear his complete question, but judging from what the preacher said to him, I believe it had something to do with the caller saying that it was their fault for having children while single, and that that is the reason they are in the condition that they are in. Now, what this preacher said is that he was not going to put all the blame on the women, but that outside conditions also affect their circumstances, like a lack of jobs or the community conditions and such. Now, while those are contributing factors, if one were to look beneath the surface of an issue like that, what you will find is that over 90% of the problem rests solely with the individual. The choices they made put them where they are. Then, this other preacher had some women call in talking about problems they were dealing with, and this preacher gave a word of encouragement to them by saying God was getting ready to move in their behalf and that they should begin to see themselves as blessed. That is all well and good, except he didn't ask them if they were saved or not, or if they were involved with something that may be the cause of their problems. According to his actions, this preacher was allowing them to believe that it didn't matter what they were or weren't doing, they were going to be blessed by God anyway. So in both of these situations, these preachers have demonstrated a misguided faith, which they passed on to those that heard them, thus continuing and expanding the notion that Christ's love, mercy and great grace are such that we don't need to turn from our wicked ways. That pales in comparison to what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, talking about Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, talking about repenting, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Repentance is the key to receiving blessing from God. Without that, you have nothing. Time and again, we are exhorted by Christ to look at ourselves and our actions first. What we are doing that is causing us to be suffering, especially when we serve or have faith in a God who is willing to heap blessing on us when needed. The fact that Christ would hold something against us is totally foreign to a lot of people, when in effect it is our own wickedness that is holding up or blocking our blessing. In discussing the problem of crime, especially as it pertains to all the shootings and killings of our young people, we suppose that the problem is the availability of assault weapons or the weapons themselves. Therefore, this president wants to crack down on the ease with which a person can purchase them. It sounds reasonable enough, doesn't it? That is what the small Christ many of you love and serve would do, isn't it? It couldn't possibly be the people, could it? Never mind the fact that just as Adam couldn't keep one commandment and the children of Israel couldn't keep 10 commandments, what makes you think people will keep over 10,000 laws that not God but man instituted? Why do you think we have such a thing as criminal? But that is not the main reason for our young people, including the babies that are being killed and dying at such a young age. To understand what is behind these tragedies, you would have to get acquainted to the real Christ. The real Christ says, "What you sow, you shall reap." Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. This nation has killed, since its legalization, over 60 million unborn babies in the cause of a woman's rights. Babies that are precious in the sight of God. And it is women who want the right to do this, and they have no remorse about it. So it is women and mothers that suffer the most when a child of theirs gets killed or dies. Like it or not, that is the justice and righteousness of Christ, the one that you reject, the one with the capital C. Woman, Christ loves each and every one of those babies that you support aborting. As a result, justice calls for the guilty to be punished. Therefore, if you support abortion, then you have sealed the fate of your own children, if you have any, or those that you may have in the future, unless you repent and turn away from it. Let me give you actual facts about why the black community is suffering much more than any other community in this nation when it comes to crime and the killings of our young people. The black community is the number one supporter of the Democratic Party in this nation. The Democratic Party is the number one supporter of abortion. So, what community is Christ allowing to suffer the most? You do the math. Faith in Christ is like electricity. When used properly, it provides us with all the comforts that we enjoy today. It makes our jobs so much easier. Can you imagine working an auto plant on the assembly line without electricity? That is how helpful it is. However, there is a warning that also goes with it, and that is, if used improperly, this same electricity can kill you. That is an inherent part of our greatest source of help. When it comes down to it, sometime in the near or distant future, you will stand in front of Jesus Christ, the one of the Bible, and the question is, what will you have to say for yourself? Will Christ see you as one that truly loved him, or as one that sought to mold him into what you wanted him to be? If you are the former, he will show you the door to enter into the joy of the Lord. However, if you are the latter, there is another door that will be waiting for you. Which one will you be going through? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry closing out this message here, and I hope you are understanding here that it's all right to have faith in Christ, but you got to make sure that the Christ that you have faith in is the Christ of the Bible and not the Christ that somebody has made up to appease themselves and others, to make people feel good when they are overlooking certain things that are characteristic of the Christ of the Bible, more specifically holiness and righteousness. They had no problem with the grace and the love and the mercy of God, but when it come down to righteousness and justice and grace and so forth, then all of a sudden they got a problem. They want to change their way of thinking, or change the idea that that's not the Christ that they believe in, that the Christ that I would be describing when I'm talking about his righteousness and holiness and so forth like that. That's the Christ that the white man wrote to keep the black man in line and stuff like that. You know, all that foolish mess. But like I say, the time will come where you're going to stand in front of this Christ that you didn't think existed, and what you gonna say for yourself? You're not gonna say anything, because God ain't gonna be allowing you to say anything, because he's gonna do all the talking, and he's gonna show you where time after time he sent people to you to try to get you to straighten your life up, to get on the right track, and you didn't want to do it. You smart mouth the people, told them to get out your face. You tried to jump on them or something like that, or whatever else just you didn't want to be bothered. Tell them to come back later and things, so when they come back later, you aren't home. All that stuff, trying to avoid listening to the Word of God. And like I say, that's all he's going to do. He's just going to play everything right back for you so you can see why he's going to dispatch you into hell. Because there's only two places to go. And if you aren't in line like you should be with the Word of God, then that's where you're going to end up. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre. I'm closing out this part of, this message here. As usual, let me just say this to you and yours. May God bless you and your family real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.